Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is now quarter past eight. It is the program known as Screaming Reels. Well, like I said to the listeners out there, that subhanAllah, there is so much of information, so much that we actually learn about the different animals, the patterns, the ways, summer months, winter months, and then of course you get then the holiday period. Well, that of course is finished now, but then when you go out and you actually see the animals, and then we can learn so much from it, or we actually learn here so much, and now when we see it, then we appreciate it even more. Many times you go to certain places, we don't know much about what we are doing, what we are seeing. And now when we're looking at the specific thing, then we are taken aback by the beauty, the outer appearance, and then we pick up on one or two things, and we are actually amazed. Yeah, now imagine, subhanAllah, when you know a bit more, and you have more information about that specific animal, and now you witness these things, then you truly and you really enjoy what you are seeing at that time. Okay, we got Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all our wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Adil, how's it going, Adil?
Shukr, alhamdulillah. I just managed to get a little bit of what you're saying in terms of your animals. I'm assuming then that you were probably looking at some animals last weekend.
No.
Oh, okay.
No animals. I was just saying earlier that, subhanAllah, once we get information, right, and we know a bit more, of course we will never know enough, and we can never ever know enough. But the thing is that here on radio station, I was saying that when Brother Farooq Hassan generally comes on, then I say, yeah, he's giving us information with regard to animals specifically, and then Brother Luqman comes on, or any other brother that actually discusses fishing itself. Now when you go out and you actually catch that fish, or you go out and you're actually seeing these animals, it just makes things more enjoyable for yourself, because, I mean, you have more knowledge of what you are seeing. I said, generally, without the knowledge, we actually go to a certain place, we'll see the animal, we might see something extraordinary, and we're taken aback already. Now, yeah, imagine, I said, you got that little bit knowledge about it, you're seeing something different from that animal, and you know the reason behind it. Now, how much more you enjoy what you are witnessing?
Yeah, I think that extra information that you get really improves your view of whatever it is that you are looking at. One very important aspect that we've got to consider, obviously, is that when we are out in nature, you know, what we are basically, our intention should be to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see this coming over and over again. I mean, sometimes you're just sitting, maybe you went to a place where there's a good scenery, and you're just looking at the scenery, and you understand that this scenery that you are looking at has been made possible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the fact that your eyes are able to see it, your brain is able to comprehend it, and then obviously the actual scenery that is there, you know, that is something that we should be you know, conscious of when we are looking at things as well.
Definitely. So it's good to actually learn even more. Adil, tell us, last weekend, I think it was, or last week in the week, you were out in KZN.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, we were fortunate enough to go for holiday to Port Edward this time. And Port Edward is in the extreme south coast. It's just before the Wild Coast. And, you know, so you've got Port Shepstone, you've got Shelley Beach, Margate, you know, and you've got coming up to Port Edward. So it's in that particular area.
In terms of distance, Aril, from your central Durban or Mshlanga and those areas that many people are familiar with going to KZN, in terms of distance, what would you say, or how many hours away, or how many minutes away?
I'd say it's about, if you're driving like how I drive, it will take you about 2 hours to get there.
Okay.
You know, it's roughly about just under 200 kilometers.
Okay.
To get to Port Edward. I don't know the exact figure. I'll have to Google it for you. Yeah, but the place is very it's very beautiful. It's it's still very natural in the sense that it's not overcrowded. You know, I mean, it was a holiday season. It was the June, July holiday season. Plus, on top of that, it was sardine season. And, you know, a lot of people go down to the coast, especially during the sardine season, because they want to hopefully catch a glimpse of sardine, etc. But I tell you one beautiful thing that I noticed about this place in particular. Like when you used to get up, you know, after Fajr Salah, I used to go for shade. And obviously when I shared, there were pockets of shade coming out at certain spots. So you know how shade goes. When you get there, everybody sort of, it's like a gold rush. Everybody's rushing to try and catch the shade. And some people are casting over this one's line and some, you know. So that shade run is a little bit hectic because it's a bit of work for you to just get your four shade. I mean, the shade are there, but you've got to take out your four shade because that's your limit for the day. And, you know, once you get your fish and you sit on the rocks and you're watching the ocean, and then you just see these beautiful dolphins or porpoises swimming past. You know, then in the distance there, you'll see just huge splashes. We were fortunate enough to see quite a few whales actually reach completely out of the water, you know, and then jump back in, you know, and then they're so huge, these animals, that from the shore where you are standing and looking, you can see it so clearly because even though maybe it's about 200 or 300 meters away, but it's so clear and it's so beautiful and because it's their natural environment. I think it goes back obviously to what you were saying earlier on, you know, when you look at that, it makes it so much different when you view because they come to the warmer waters to breed and stuff like that usually. And it's amazing to see the sight, you know, of these very, very huge animals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And the way they just jump out of the water, as if they're so, you know, they're so agile and so light, and then they just splash back into the water.
In terms, I know we're actually talking about the fishing aspect or the animals aspect, but since you brought this place up itself, I mean, Port Edward, you said, in terms of, I know many people, I mean, when we would go out to KZN or to Durban, then it's a central Durban, it's Mshlanga, Mshloti, those areas there. And in those areas there, of course, you would find it gets much more busy, I mean, with people, holiday makers, tourists. And then, of course, in terms of food stuff, you would get, I mean, most of the things nowadays would actually be halal and suitable for many people to eat. So that also kind of makes your holiday much more easier. What about these areas here, then, where?
You see, the thing is with Port Edward, it's there's a lot of sites to go and see, basically. Okay, so you've got the sea. There's some beautiful beaches that we saw there. You know what they call blue flag beaches, where they've got the glide guards and you can go and swim. Sure. And funny enough, in this very, very cold weather, we had one, two good days where we actually went swimming. I even went swimming myself, you know, in the sea, and it was a beautiful change, you know, in scenery from the cold weather in Joburg to the warm weather in on the coast. But then in that particular area, there's a lot of places to go and see. Like, for example, you've got the Oribi Gorge, which is not far, just up the road from Port Shepstone. We didn't get to go there. Within the Port Edward area, there's that Panjati Game Reserve, which is not a major Big Five game reserve, but it's a natural reserve nonetheless, which has got access to the estuarine system. You know, and one of the interesting things there is that there's this bridge that goes over the river that you can sort of walk on. There's this new place that has opened up in that area. It's called Mac Banana, and it's based on a banana farm. And there's so many activities that you could do there. The one thing that we did was this zip lining. It's like a zip lining, but it's got a whole lot of courses. So they hook you up onto a harness, and you basically walking with a harness on these obstacles. And it's amazing because you're like about I think you're about 50 meters in the air.
Sure.
And you're looking down, and you've got to traverse across all these funny obstacles, you know, like swinging tires, and you've got these funny, you know, wooden structures that are like crooked, and you feel like you're going to fall all the time, but you've got that harness, and, you know, they take you with a guide. But it's something really amazing to do, and that's one of the things I think I enjoyed a lot when I went out on this particular holiday. There's a lot of sightseeing to be done in a lot of the different areas there. A lot of the space is marine reserve, where you know you walk in, and that's why I say you get to see the beach in sort of a very natural environment, very untouched environment, because they look after it there. And what I was amazed to see when we went to the beach itself was there was no litter. You know, the beaches were very, very clean. And, you know, the sand was so soft. I mean, I made a sand castle with my son, which I noticed in the last few years, like when you go to Mklanga or Mklodi or other areas, the beaches are not as nice as they used to be a few years ago, especially after that. I don't know if you remember during the tsunami time, there was quite a bit of damage and flooding that happened across that northern yes. part of the beaches. And, you know, the beaches just haven't been the same there. So you don't find that in the south, where the beaches are still very, very beautiful. And the fishing, Monana, is amazing. I mean, I don't think there was a fishing excursion that we went on during this trip where we didn't catch. And that's something amazing, because I know in Durban, many times, you know, my normal routine would be to get up after Fajr, go and do my first run in the mornings. And there's times where you go and you don't catch a single fish and you come back. But here, every time we went out, we caught fish. I managed to catch a rock salmon. You know, it wasn't a very big fish. In fact, we ate it yesterday. But shared, lots and lots of shared. In fact, one of the things that I enjoyed the most in this holiday was the fact that I had my mommy with me. And every morning I would bring the fresh shared. You know, we would clean it up there at the beach. You know, from the rocks, come home, and my mommy would cut it up and she'd masala it with a special blend of spices that she puts together, and then fry that thing in the oil. And, you know, in the morning you're eating fresh shad. And you're looking at the ocean and you're seeing this whales jumping. You know, that definitely, you can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for that type of an experience.
Oh, yes, definitely. So in terms of activities, natural beauty, you say it's all there. I would presume the only thing you would have to kind of worry about is taking your own chow and preparing your own meals in those areas. Because of course, you're not going to get so much food outlets. And of course, even if they are going to be, I don't think you're going to have so many of them that are actually halal or where our guys are going to go out to actually chow for. So that would be your only different experience somewhat or slightly from staying in your other areas.
You know, what you're saying is a very important thing, something that we need to consider, obviously, when we go on holiday, is, you know, what are the roles that the women folk want to play on a holiday? What do they want? Because obviously, many of our women folk are tired. Their daily routine is cooking, you know. And, you know, when we go to certain places like these, obviously, we normally take all our food stuff because we usually do self-catering.
Sure.
And obviously then it would be cooking again for the ladies. But I know one thing my wife always says that it helps her is we design a menu before we leave. And sometimes she has certain meals pre-prepared from here.
Okay.
So that when we get there, it's easy. And it's always got to be like easy meals because the holiday must be more focused on holiday activities rather than sitting in a kitchen all day and cooking, etc. One of the advantages they normally have at resorts where they're self-catering is they've got people that will come up and clean up the flat and wash the dishes, etc. So at least that sort of cuts out that for the women folk. But yeah, you're right. You know, many times we want to go on a holiday. We want to be able to buy some food because we want to make it easy for the women folk at home. But in these areas, like you say, it's very limited. But if you prep yourself properly and you go with this in mind that, you know what, all the meals for the week are catered for, I know exactly what I need to make and how many minutes it's going to take. And then, you know, and you've got a good husband like me, it helps. You know, sometimes we have more pride. So now the pride becomes a man's job to do. So, but a woman will always argue and say, no, please don't tell us the bride, the man's job. All you do is you're
sitting there,
the bride set, and you're brying, and we must have the salads and stuff.
And you got Brother Luqman with us on the line. It's time is already just moving like this. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Luqman?
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners as well.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Look, Luqman, we're actually talking about a Durban trip that Adler's out tonight in Port Edward, and I don't know if you just got the last part of our discussion. We're just saying generally, on your holiday seasons, especially if you're going here locally, I mean abroad, it's of course totally a different story with regard to the place you're going to and where you're going to, and the reason behind why you're going also abroad. But locally, generally, you're going on holiday, of course, you have to make it as comfortable as possible for the families also. So in terms of taking your chow or preparing and things like that, it's of course preference, but then the women folk want it a bit easier that side as well.
It is a very interesting topic, and you know, we generally, you know, we Muslims especially tend to take a lot of food with us. I think before anything else, our food is more important. You know,
so
if we don't have the pots of biryani and pots of then the holiday is not made, so to say. No?
It can be made. It's a weekend thing. Even if you're going picnic just for a weekend, the chow must be worth, you know.
And it's enough chow for the whole month, one weekend.
Yeah, but now we're just saying, any like Port Edward, for example, comparatively or in comparison to your central or Umhlanga or things like that, you know, it's on what basis does one actually go to those areas? Yes, I'm really saying the fishing is going to probably be much better, those areas there, and then it's much more natural. But then, on the other hand, then you don't have the comforts that you're going to have in these areas there as well.
Yeah, you know, it is a very exciting and interesting coastline to explore. I mean, the destinations and the beauty and scenery around those, I haven't been myself, but just watching some photos and of the scenery and even the fish the guys catch. You know, we get, for years now, we've been getting customers regularly going to the Eastern Cape and that area. And what it is like you say, it's more remote, so you have to take a lot more of your food stuff with you, because you get nothing there or very little there, unless you want to make the sacrifices, maybe go to a local and slaughter a goat or something. It's a different story. But yeah, you know, food, you know, it's important to us, and guys go well prepared. But, you know, discussing it as far as from the woman's folk side and making it easier, that you always try to do. But on the other hand, you know, alhamdulillah, a lot of us are fortunate where the woman's folk enjoy cooking and they enjoy being in the kitchen, so to say. Although they're not making five course meals or whatever, but they do enjoy it as well. And I think, alhamdulillah, you know, they then prepare good meals, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or supper. But most of them enjoy doing it, so they don't feel it as a burden.
Sure.
It's part of the holiday to prepare for the kids, you know, their little meals, whatever they want, and then obviously for the adults, what they want. So I think it's, you know, as long as it's well planned, well thought of, even the cooking side, even being in a kitchen, is part and parcel of the whole holiday.
Luqman, we're now moving, well, in terms of a winter per se, I don't think any one of us can complain that we really had a serious winter. Yes, of course, I mean, it's in the evening, especially after Maghrib Salah, early morning, there's a chill in the air. I mean, it is winter or it gets cold. But in terms of the days that we've been having, and I don't think any of us can complain and say it's been really hot, really cold, or it's a real winter that we're facing. But of course, slowly, we're already getting back now to the end of July. And yes, in August as well, you do have those cold days. You're probably still going to get a cold front or two. But what happens now for the fishermen per se? We know just before Ramadan started, we said now you're going to pack up everything. Ramadan starting as well as winter. And I know Luqman always says that there's no end to it, whether it's winter or summer. You just got to know where to find the fish. But Luqman, now getting into the summer months or already approaching spring, what advice are you going to give the fishermen out there?
Well, it's time already, like you mentioned, you can see that days have started lengthening, which is a sign that it's fishing season approaching. So start getting your tackle out, and for those that I had, and like you mentioned, the days are not cold at all. During midday it's quite comfortable. So grab your rods and go fishing. Guys have been reporting already of some nice bass being caught in certain dams. So it is coming, and this is August, September is your spawning season where you can, your chance of catching your PB or your biggest bass is there, because those big females coming to spawn. So it's definitely a chance and a time to be getting ready, if not to be already going and targeting bass, which is your most exciting fish to catch this time of the year. And then we've had good reports from guys that went to Materi. I don't know, Molana, how you guys did, but guys caught a mixture of bass and those nilos. I don't know how was your trip, but we've had some good reports from there as well.
It was excellent, but I know I'm still tell Adil that part of it, so maybe we leave that for next week, Adil.
Yeah, now the puzzle is sort of like putting itself together, but all right, we'll come to that just now. Look, when you talk about nilos, there were some guys that posted some pictures on Facebook in the week about some beautiful fish that they were catching, nilos. Is that the sort of the time for it now?
Not really. That season would be mainly your summer months, but I think because there's from the reports we get at Materi that there is abundance of them, and that's why you're probably getting them this time of the year. And guys were not getting them only with bait. Another technique they use is jigging them, where you just put a bare treble hook and jig them, but you have exceptional fight. Then they fight like hell. So it's not so much that they bite this time of the year. It just guys made took the opportunity, and while they were there, caught a few by jigging. So ideally they bite when you're looking at hook baits, where you're going to put either the doe or earthworm or whatever. That would be more the warmer months, like all bream species. From around September onwards, you can catch. And the peak season for nilos, in any case, is the January, February, March.
Luqman, but something strange with the nilos, I don't know. You get different reports from different people. You see all of them come out to the top of the water. So you just see the mouths open, and they're like kind of sucking in air. And I know somebody there at that site said probably spawning fish. Some of the guys said they actually come here to acclimatize to the weather, because now you're going again into the warmer months, so the water temperature changing as well as the air outside.
Yeah. It could be a combination of factors. Nobody's an expert on this. Allah alone knows. He's the provider, nourisher, sustainer, so he knows. But like you said, it could be oxygen, it could be adapting, but also from what I've seen personally at Materi, is actually they're feeding. What happens is there's a lot of organisms in the water, a lot of insects, minute insects or whatever, that we can't even see with a naked eye. You'll have to go quite close to look at even type of algae blooms or whatever, or even different type of maybe very small plant species that grow in the water, which you don't take note of. And by them opening their mouths, actually sucking in, it can be maybe small worms or whatever, that they actually, with their mouths open, they're feeding, they're actually sucking in different types of foods, yeah.
Lugwan, so if that's the case, then doesn't this give an opportunity to a fisherman to try some sort of a top water technique to be able to catch the fish?
I'm sure, you know, I know many years ago it happened to us at the Reservante, where that same thing happened, and we saw all these blues at that time doing that, and all you do is you change your technique, you take your weight out, or put a very fine split shot so just you can get the distance.
Right.
And what happens is then it's a slower falling bait, and then we caught quite a few out of that school doing that, just changing your technique. And now, you know, at Advent, that was a couple of years ago, now you got, just quickly coming to mind is a carp fisherman uses a floaty.
Right.
I would think if you see that happening, then you got some carp floaties in your box, because they do float.
Right.
So you can, but it has to be a very small hook, because if you use a heavy hook, it is going to sink. So you want to use a very light hook, and try a floating. If you see that happening, maybe give it a try. And if it is feeding, or those fish are feeding, then in all likelihood, they would take that floaty off the surface.
But they do also get very, very sensitive. So if you're going to get just a little bit close to them, you kind of spook them away. Or even when you're throwing that line of yours, with the slightest of noise, of movement, they kind of get spooked away, and then they just disappear that moment.
Yeah, so then you'd probably have to use very light line. You'd probably have to use like 6-pound line and try and make longer cast. Them.
Or go into finesse fishing for that.
Yeah, just light line and try and make a long cast.
Yeah, I'm thinking of
fishing is about. Yeah, you know, you got to try different techniques.
Interesting stuff. Lugwan, on the local scene, what's happening?
We've been getting reports of still guys catching some carps around. But decent carp coming all over the show. But like I say, some guys have started catching some decent bass as well.
Any specific dams that have been mentioned, okay?
Not really. I think it's a bit of everywhere, too.
I did see some... one guy was doing a review also on the Seaver. I don't know if you guys stock those things.
Maaf, Adil, you said that?
I think it's called Seaver. You know those ball sort of like fish finders? You can tie
deeper,
your line to it and throw it in the water, or you can even connect it to your boat.
Yeah, it's called Deeper. It's a fish finder that you can use with your smartphone. So what it is, a transducer or transponder, is attached to a different rod, the one you're fishing with, your spare rod or whatever. So you actually cast your transducer into the water as far as you can, or in around your fishing area. And you wind it in slowly like you're actually fishing, and you use your smartphone or your tablet or your laptop, and you can then see what the bottom looks like. So it's like basically a modern version of a portable fish finder.
Like a sonar system.
It's a modern version of a fish. You can use it in any dam, any river, whatever.
I've seen them in a lot of reviews and stuff like that, but I don't have any idea of what they would cost. Do you have more or less an idea of what they cost?
It costs around 5,500 to 6,500 rand. There's different options. You can get one or two different options with it, but between 5,500 and 6,500 rand for the deeper fish finder.
Are there ways of actually reading these things there? Huh? Is there like a guide on knowing how to actually see? I mean, because, you know, with these type of things, and then at the bottom, most of your things would actually just look the same to the naked eye. So is there a way of actually reading these sonars or these fish finders?
Yeah, you have to do it. And then there's lots of YouTube clips about it and a way to go about it. And even the unit itself, when you buy it, it's fully instructional, but it tells you how to read the bottom, how to read the... And it depends what type of species you're catching. That alone will tell you which depth of water to look for.
Yeah, I was actually saying that... So these guys were using the Deeper at Boskop Dam. And last week or something like that, they were doing a review and they were catching bass. In fact, in the video, the guy actually caught 2 bass. So one of the dams, obviously, that you can go and try. But these guys were using a boat, and they were using this Deeper fish finder to actually map the area that they were fishing.
looking particularly for drop-off and for sort of like, you know, structure inside the water. And they usually found that around the structure in the water, that's where the bears were sitting.
It's a handy tool, you know, most boat fishermen these days have fish finders, and that's what you find, that's what you look for. You look for sets, because fish would vary and would move between different sets throughout the year. And then, like you mentioned, you know, you're looking for structure like underwater, submerged trees, rock piles, that would hold bass specifically. So, yeah, that's the way to go about it.
Before we say goodbye to you, Luqman, tell us about any products that are out on the market at the moment which guys can keep their eyes out for.
Now, why are you becoming like a jabber and saying goodbye? You're supposed to say before, make salam.
Yeah, okay, sure.
No,
you don't understand what I was saying there.
Oh, all right.
Like they must go to Solis and do some buying.
Yeah, they say said goodbye.
Yeah, they must
go buy it, yeah. Look, what Jemma said, have you been anywhere holidays or planning any trip soon?
Not really. We'll see, inshallah. Now fishing season is coming. We'll play. We just want to see. We're waiting for your report to see what happened at Macheri. So we'll see what. Next week I'll wait for your report and then decide what we do.
Inshallah.
But new products, inshallah. You know, yearly we've spoke about it often, that in August there's always a trade show that takes place. And a lot of the dealers we deal with, you know, bring in and show us all the new products. So what we'll do is, inshallah, probably it happens around mid-August. So towards the end of August, on one of the weekends, one show we'll dedicate just to product, where we'll be discussing all the new products and that are available.
Inshallah. I see VMC has made a new bass hook which doesn't get snagged in the weeds.
I haven't seen it myself, but inshallah, like I say, we'll probably see it at
we'll
the
talk
show.
We'll that one, inshallah, after the program.
Yeah, we'll talk about it, like I say, so we'll dedicate our program, inshallah, just to new products.
Inshallah, and we hope people come to Solis, go down to Solis, speak to Luqman, inshallah, lots and lots of good, valuable information you're going to get on your fishing, and they've got a huge range of products, and they've got branches all over. So make sure that you go to Solis, inshallah, get your tackle and your gear ready, and go out fishing, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Well, Adil, we were going to call Brother Farooq Hassan as well for the program today, but when you're looking at the time now, it's like already 11 minutes left. Ziad indicating we still got some airs to catch up on. So, we will probably leave Brother Farooq Hassan for next week, Saturday morning, to discuss a bit more on that front. But before we actually catch up on those ads, I just said to Zayn, inshallah, a bit earlier we'll wrap up and catch up on those few ads and play them out. So you say in terms of your fishing over the holidays, you had an excellent run.
It was very good, alhamdulillah, Mulana. I can't complain. I didn't do any serious fishing. I focus a lot more on, you know, taking the family out and checking the place, you know, going to the different beaches there and, you know, having a nice, relaxing day. You know, what was amazing about those beaches there was there used to basically be like about five or six families on the beach. And that was all. Beautiful.
In terms of safety, Adil, I know generally, again, you know, it's just unfortunate that, I mean, you're on holiday with the family and these things can happen. But, you know, even by your central beaches, I mean, generally people will say, you know, just be careful. Yes, okay, in the daytime, I mean, it's quite busy, so it's not so scary. But, of course, with the area like you've been to,
yeah.
Well, you know, in terms of safety, being four or five families only, well, how do you feel, or how do you say you would feel?
I think what happens to us is because we come from Gauteng and we are sort of like always on high alert. One thing you need to know about in terms of an area is when you speak to the locals to ask them what's crime like in the area, then it gives you a good picture. Yes, there is quite a bit of crime in those areas in the south because you'll find along the highway there's a lot of informal settlements you know, which are not seen to, you know, by holidaymakers.
Okay.
And there's a lot of petty crime that occurs in the those areas, where people sort of break in and steal things and break into the people's yards instead of the washing, etc. That is now what's happening for in, on the local scene, and it's basically the same sort of crime pattern that we see everywhere. They do have a lot of these CPF forums. They've got a very active police forum, especially during the holiday time, where you see quite a lot of police patrols, etc. So it also puts you on edge because you think to yourself, well, why is there so much of patrolling and policing? But I was speaking to quite a few of the car guards there, and they were telling me that, no, you know, because it's holiday season, we just want our holiday makers to feel comfortable. We did notice that everywhere we went, there was always car guards, and not just one, like two or three, and not car guards where they were placed there by, or they came there themselves, or, you know, they were proper security company car guards that were put up by the local municipalities and things like that. That's just to give you a sense of a relaxation that, you know, while I'm out there at the beach, my car is safe. So, yeah, there is a, although there is crime everywhere, I think that particular area, they are doing active policing to ensure that, you know, you don't have any incidents. Okay. And then obviously at night, because the area is not so well lit up like how you have Durban, where people are walking in the street, or, you know, like in Durban, you can walk down the road and go to the beach area and buy an ice cream and stuff like that. It's not happening there. So you spend the evening you spend at home in the chalet, you know, frying and talking and laughing and whatever. If there's a swimming pool in the resort and it's nice and a warm night, you can go and catch a swim. You know, things
so,
like
so
that.
There's actually good bonding time when and with the families there come the evening. There isn't much entertainment or much to do in the evening, but there's good time to actually be with the family in the evening.
I think that's the important part of it. You know, you want to actually go on a holiday to reconnect. Because if you look at your life, it's you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you come back, you know, then everybody's sort of blending into the house at a different time, and you don't really have that interaction. The holiday is supposed to be a time where you sit and you introspect and you enjoy your family time, you know, you speak to your kids for more intimately about what's going on in their lives. And you have those moments.
Definitely. I think it is all about that, and that's what makes it more interesting and more like a homely feeling in terms of just only being a holiday artist. So, okay, so this was just like a review. I think somebody from the sport, Edward, area will have to pay something towards the radio station for actually giving them exposure in this way, Ari.
I definitely think so, yeah. I don't think we even covered, you know, a fraction of it.
Sure.
But there's a lot to do in those areas in terms of your day activities. In nightlife, there isn't much, like I said. But if you are a nature enthusiast and if you're someone that's going out there to really see the beauty that this country has to offer and that is still out there, you know, we assume that there's so much of negative things happening around us that we assume that, you know, there's nothing left in this country, but there's a lot that this country has to offer, and it's beautiful.
Definitely. Adil, so I think, like you said, it was an amazing trip, it was a wonderful trip. Anything, I know school's back to school tomorrow, Adil, you know, when you say back to school, then we're going to say back to school for you also tomorrow, Adil.
Don't talk about it.
Not tomorrow, Monday, sorry, give you one more day, Chuti.
Give me one more day, please.
Give you one more day. So, any plans, Adil, for the coming weekends and fishing front, or maybe you got something lined up for the guys?
What will happen now is we'll have, we've got our bug out bag weekend, which will come up. That's a few of my friends, the survivor guys, we get together and we'll go out and do one very cold weekend just for a training activity. And then there's the survival camp that will start now, inshallah, with the schools and the school-going kids, where we will have one or two weekends where we will dedicate to doing survival training and survival camp.
That will be more into the summer months, I think?
I think so. But you know what, there's been quite a lot of requests, you know, from different areas where people wanted to send the kids on these camps. So okay, we'll see how that goes, inshallah. And then fishing. And we have to go fishing, you and I. We have to still do our outdoor broadcasts from quite a few places.
How about next week, Saturday, we start something?
Let's see. I've got already a plan for next week, Saturday.
Okay.
Where we are going out on a survival camp, but some of the guys are not able to go, so I'm not sure if we're still going to do it or we're cancelling that trip. But if there's something that comes up, I will definitely let you know, and then we can go, start something familiar, and then we'll start exploring. There's quite a few resorts and places that we still need to go and check out, and we need to give that information to our listeners so they know exactly where they can go.
Right, so there's some good avenues out there to still to be seen. There's some good places that we can actually go to. Just a few minutes left, Adil. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave the program for today as that. We'll continue and catch up with our wonderful listeners next week, Saturday. But also, let's just remind the listeners that now I think it's the time where, after the holidays, we want you to share your experiences with us. Under Islam International. Tell us about your holidays, about, wherever it might have been, whether it was Durban, whether it was the Kruger National Park, whether it was abroad, share with us the experience so that we can share it with our listeners as well, inshallah.
Definitely. We haven't heard from listeners in ages.
I think that's going to be the important step for now. We're going to try and get our listeners to join us, inshallah, very soon. Adil, jazakumullah once again for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, Adil, I actually got... There was actually one to WhatsApp that came in with regard to Port Edward.
Yeah.
I'll actually forward them, and next week, inshallah, we'll take these two messages. Or let's just go through them very, very quickly. I think it's not long. We can actually discuss it a bit later.
Sure.
The one says, Sans, Moran and Adil had an opportunity to go twice to Port Edward. Definitely a must again. The beaches, the Perda friendly, in the sense, quiet. It says Maulana Musa Mehmi has an ideal Muslim guest house facility for self-catering.
All right, I actually stayed there.
Okay. Okay, so maybe that you can tell us a bit more about it. Maybe you can share the number for our listeners out there. The next one says, Salams, we went to Leisure Bay a few years ago, very near Port Edward. It was stunning. No shops, just homes and the beach, which was extremely beautiful. We had a prepared menu and took all of our food from here. Did lots of braais and semi-prepared foods. We spent the days at the beach with sandwiches. Totally amazing. My kids say they'll never swim in central beaches again.
Again, yeah. We spent all our swimming and that at leisure.
Sure.
It's beautiful. It's about 5K from Port Edward. So, beautiful place.
I think we need to try this. This is what we like. This is what we enjoy. At least our listeners are sharing this with us, and it makes it more interesting for our people out there. Jazakumullah for the two WhatsApps as well. And next week, perhaps we can get our listeners to call us and share with us their experiences, inshallah. Adil, jazakumullah once again.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The good experiences. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.